Imagine for a moment you had the chance to relive certain parts of your life story, the places where you found yourself disappointed and overwhelmed by circumstances, and then all of a sudden you're able to look at it from a different perspective and you realize, you know what, I can be effective through what it is I'm facing now. I can be effective in what it is that God's called me to do in life. We see the reality is, if you look at the Bible's a story that shows how people face disappointment, challenges, circumstances, and out of all those different things, they began to encounter that God had an answer to those issues, and the answer always rested in Jesus. And so, as a result, as the story unfolds today, we see what happens when Paul and Barnabas, they're on a trip. I don't know if you've ever been on a trip where things didn't go as you anticipated they would. I was reading about some folks on a mission trip this past week who they were traveling to the eastern part of Ukraine, and it's a guy I've known for many years, and he just posted a note on his Facebook page and said, "Pray for us. We have currently been en route for X number of hours, and our plane was canceled, and so we're living in the airport here in some part of Ukraine, and we get to fly in about 13 hours. We'll get a chance to get on another plane, and we can't leave the airport. We've got to stay here." And as I was reading, I thought, you know, that's how life is sometimes. Things get delayed. Things get overwhelming. We don't know which way to turn. The circumstances come at us. And today, as you think about your own life, I want you to think about what would happen if you became so effective and so energized that no circumstance, no situation could take away what it is that God has for you. And that's what crossing the line is really all about. Because today I want to show you something that transpires. Because for Paul and Barnabas, they're on a journey. And they get delayed in different ways and challenged in different ways because they're having to deal with people. And the people are not always there to encourage him and always there to bless them. And so as a result, they have to process life the way that's coming at them. And watch this carefully. You may like to live out a certain way, your life pattern, but life normally throws different things at you that challenge you in different ways than you anticipated. And those challenges, they come at you to cause you to look at your life and go, you know, wait a minute, maybe I ought to think about this a different way. And so today we look at what it means to cross the line and to become effective and energized in accomplishing what it is that God wants to do through each one of us. And so if you have your Bible, open to Acts chapter 13. And as you're turning there, and we're going to look at 14 as well, but I want you to turn to 14. We're going to look back at 13. It's probably a better way to say it. Because the latter part of the 13th chapter, we see another point of disappointment that transpires where all of a sudden for Barnabas and for Paul, they seem to constantly be running into people who don't line up with what they think. And as a result, they end up encountering all kinds of challenges that are coming at them. And so as you think about that, I want to ask you two very distinctive questions to think about in your own life as we look at this passage. The first one is this: how effective do you feel in life? In other words, when you look at your life, do you feel like, hey, you know, I'm getting things done. I need to get done. I'm effective in that. I'm accomplishing what he intended. I hear him speaking in my heart. I know what he wants to do through me. Or do you find yourself at times going, I feel so ineffective, not able to hear what I need to hear, not able to do what I need to do, not able to hear what see what I need to see. And this week I was having a lunch with Eddie one day, and we were talking about our personal journey of faith and how that affects who we are and how we live. And as I was sitting there chatting with him, I was thinking about how many times people get disappointed or discouraged or overwhelmed, and they set aside the very thing that could set them into an effective life, that could transform and energize their life. So today, as you think about your own journey of faith, where you are, could it be you look back and say, you know, man, in December this thing set me back, or in October I encountered this, or this challenge came at me in January, and as a result of that, I didn't know which way to turn, which way to go. You see, the truth of the matter is that everything that we face is filtered through his grace, filtered through his love, in order for us to be more fine-tuned to accomplish what he intends in the long run for our lives. And so as you think about that, the first question is, how effective do you feel? The second question is even more pointed, because here is the thought I want you to think about regarding your own life. From where do you derive your energy? In other words, the other day I was in a gas station, and a person was buying three cans of whatever that stuff, that energy drink, all right? I can't think of the name of it, but Flaming Bull, Riding Bull, whatever it is that you, that Red Bull, you know, they had three cans of that stuff. And I was thinking the only way they're going to get energized today is to take in and drink three cans of that. Do you realize, and I'm only a person talking about who has had heart surgery, do you realize what three cans of Red Bull would do to your heart? I mean, it would have it racing at a pace that you can't even imagine. And as you think about your own life and where your energy comes from, you see, the truth is, if your energy coming from some source outside, watch this, outside of who you are and who He is, you're probably going to wane at the point of energy at some point. But if you think about, hey, how do I get energized by God to encounter Him the way He intended? That's what this message is about today. Because I want you to show you something. In chapter 13, look if you would, beginning in verse 50, and notice what transpires. Because remember, great things are happening. See, here's what you can't miss. In the midst of all these great things are great challenges. And in life, you and I need to understand something. To whom He entrusts great things, there are going to be challenges come at us that we have to contend with. And so, as a result, you find Him in chapter 13. Notice what transpires. Verse 50. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. And in verse 51, you find a principle that's probably one of the key things of life if you learn how to live it out. Notice what it said. But they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, get this in your mind. Here they are. They have this great opportunity to do some great thing. They're committed to what they're supposed to accomplish. And all of a sudden, people who have affluence and who are leading people all come behind them and say, you know what? We don't want anything you have to do. Why don't you move on to the next place? Because what you're saying, we're not connecting to. What you're saying is not relevant to who we are. And what do? They could have been disappointed, overwhelmed, and challenged by that to the point to say, you know what? It ain't worth it. We keep doing this, and we keep running the same thing. Which, by the way, this isn't the first time they ran into opposition, is it? So I want you to think about, as it relates to where you are, how do we validate our effectiveness? Because that's really a key thing. We validate our effectiveness in the face of opposition. And so if you are facing something, that issue you're facing, you're contending with, is there to validate how you become effective. And if you don't allow that opposition to be dealt with the right way, it gets the best of you. Because the opposition, watch this, is the affirmation of the opportunity. And so if I'm facing something big, I'm facing something overwhelming, something challenging, what happened? I end up encountering something that caused me to go, you know, there's a greater source of power, there's something that can work in through me, that's Christ at work in me. He who works in me, who begins this good work, He'll complete it. So look on over in chapter 14. I want to show you, I want to bookend this message today, then I want to bring to light what transpired in the 14th chapter. Look, if you would, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 26. Look at the latter part of this text. From there they sailed to Antioch, and from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And when they had arrived, they gathered the church together. They began to report all things that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples. Now, here's the question. Does that sound like a discouraged people? Does that sound like some people who are overwhelmed by their circumstances? No. Here's what transpired. And you're going to see this. You're going to see today that even stones don't take away Paul's devotion and his effectiveness and his energy. And so it's in the 14th chapter, these same devout people who are chasing after Him, trying to move Him away into some other direction, these same devout people are the ones who are going to stone Him in this text. And so as you think about that, I want you to get in your mind a real simple template of thought. All right? For every disappointment, there is a moment of direction. And for every moment of direction, there is an opportunity for impact. And when I begin to impact people, the way I do that is with the grace of God. Because what you discover is that as you think through this in your own mind, here's Paul and Barnabas. They could have said, you know what, it's just too much for me. It's too overwhelming. I don't know which way to turn. But instead, what do? They take their disappointment. They take their heartache. And what do? They get direction from that. And that direction sets in motion something powerful, something amazing, because all of a sudden what transpires is you get to see something, they start impacting in a more profound way. Today you find the story of a guy who has been all of his life lame, laying and waiting to listen to something that's worthwhile. And then all of a sudden, he hears Paul speak and he realizes something. I finally hear the truth. I hear what it is that God is saying to me. And when Paul noticed that he was listening, watch this, he was listening intently. He was hearing what was transpiring. Out of that listening, out of that hearing, came an opportunity to make a tremendous and powerful impact. So let's look, if we could, in the 14th chapter. So remember, they shook the dust off their shoes. All right? It's like they do like this. We're not going to contend with this anymore. And what we're going to do is we're going to move on to somewhere where someone will listen to what we're doing, what we're saying, and make application of it. And you know, it's the same kind of thing that you do in your own life. When you hear somebody who rejects what it is that you believe, rejects what it is you live for, sets aside what the truth's all about, you can't sit and spend your whole life thinking, man, I wish they'd wake up. You can pray and ask God to wake them up, but you have to shake the dust off and say, you know what, I have to entrust that to God. And I'll tell you, everyone in this room probably has somebody that they have to entrust to God and shake the dust off their shoes and not spend their whole life going, you know, I wish I could fix that. I wish I could help that. I wish I could move that forward. You can't do it. Only he can do it. And what you find in the 14th chapter is if you let him do it, he does it in an amazing and powerful way. Acts 14, beginning in verse 1. Let's look at what transpired. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both the Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly, which, by the way, that word boldly is to be energized, with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hand. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some of the apostles. And when there was an attempt that was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding region. And there, watch this, they continued to preach the gospel. So watch this. They get in the middle of all kinds of challenges. They get in the middle of all kinds of difficulty, but they have a bold reliance. And in fact, the Bible talks about this whole idea of how they boldly relied on the Lord at work in their life. And watch this carefully. If you want to be effective, if you want to be energized by God, you have to have a bold reliance. That bold reliance in the midst of challenges you face, you got to look at it and go, you know what? Nothing's going to get the best of me. It may come at me in different ways. It may challenge me in more ways than I can imagine, but nothing is going to get the best of me. Yesterday, I was out walking my dog, one of our neighbors is hosting a family who were displaced by the hurricane that came through Panama City in that area. And so the young man who lived there, he has a pit bull dog. And I'm not really a big fan of pit bull dogs. And I was walking my dog on a leash, and the pit bull came out of the front door and started moving like this towards me and my dog. Well, my first thought was, I wonder how hungry that pit bull is. Because if he's really hungry, he's going to bite me. Because my dog's not going to be much of a challenge. And it was interesting because I stood there. I was frozen for a moment because I had the challenge in front of me that what do I do with the dog? There's no collar. There's no leash. It's just coming towards me. And then all of a sudden, the guy who owned the dog spoke a word, and that dog froze right there. And then he looked at the dog and said, sit down. And that dog sat down like a little puppy. Well, I raced on into the house because I was afraid he might not want to sit very long. And I moved on out of that situation. But I was thinking about, as that master spoke to that animal and gave a command, can you imagine the power of his voice? That he could make a dog that weighs 100 pounds stop in a second. And it's interesting because I watched him after I was out of harm's way, and he said to that dog, get in the car. And that dog, this guy's driving one of those Versa things, you know, that I guess has battery, and I'm not sure what it is, but anyway, some kind of those weird cars, and he tells, getting in the back of that car, well, if you've ever seen those cars, there's not much room in the back. That dog jumped right into every square inch of that back, and he closed the trunk. And I thought, man, that dog's got to feel confined. But I'd rather him be confined in the back of his car than be free in my front yard. All right? And so my wife noticed me being cautious as I went outside after that, and she said, well, you don't believe what happened to me. And she was out with our dog when she'd come home for something, and that pit bull came around the corner and encountered our dog, but didn't do anything other than the normal dog behavior. But we were talking about, you know, just around the corner, there could be a danger you didn't have any way to calculate that comes at you that you have to deal with. And I'm going to tell you, Paul and Barnabas did not know what kind of danger was around the corner for them. They just knew there were constant challenges that were coming at them, constant challenges that caused them to process life in a way that they could only be reliant on the Lord. And to be boldly reliant, something began to happen inside of them. Three things I want you to see about this bold reliance. The first thing is this. The enemy will attack. The enemy attacks while God affirms. And I want you to get this in your mind. If the enemy comes at you, it is there that God comes beside you and says, I'm with you. So don't let anything come at you that you go, I'm by myself. I'm stuck without any solution. I don't have an answer. Listen, he affirms and he directs. I mean, if you look at this passage, what happened? It's very clear. In verse 2, it says they were disbelieved, stirred up the minds of Gentiles, and embittered them against the brethren. The word embittered there is to poison someone. And here's what they did. They started poisoning, and what did it cause Paul and Barnabas to do? Look at the therefore in verse 3. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord. I mean, can you imagine? They get all this rejection, all this heartache, all this challenge. They get all these people who are trying to poison their message and poison what they're trying to accomplish. And then all of a sudden, out of all that, they keep doing what it is God's called them to do. Listen carefully. If he's called you to a task, stay with that task no matter what. Because if you're not careful, you will be poisoned by a circumstance, poisoned by a situation, poisoned by an issue, by somebody's perspective, by someone's attitude, someone's disposition. And listen carefully. As the family of God at One Heart, people can have lots of opinions. Our opinion rests inside of this book. Our opinion rests inside of what God's Word says. That's why we rightly divide the Word of truth. That's why we live inside of it every day. It's not just the fact that the enemy will attack and that God affirms, but you'll notice the second thing, because it talks about the Word of grace that comes their way. Look, if you would, in verse 3. Boldly relying upon the Lord, who was testifying to the Word of His grace. What does a Word of grace do? A Word of grace opens our hearts up to experience what He intends to accomplish through us. A word of grace opens us up, because watch this carefully. If you have somebody who judges you all the time, what is your normal reactive perspective? After a while, you're like, I don't think I want to be around that person. I don't think I want to encounter their attitude. But what happens? If you're around somebody who extends grace to you, who encourages you in your faith journey, who speaks into your heart, who believes in who you are and encourages you along that way, what happens there? It changes everything. Just a few weeks ago, one of our members, Telestai Ministry, was out doing a ministry to a number of men who were need an answer, need a word of grace. They've already lived through bad choices. They didn't need another thought that's judgmental. They needed a word of grace. And out of that, several gave their heart to Christ. As I read that testimony, I began to realize more and more, the more word of grace we give to people, the more we extend what grace can do, the more powerful our life witness will be. So the enemy attacks, the word of grace comes their way, they're boldly relying on God. There's a third thing I want you to see, because what do they do as a result of that? Verse 4, the people of the city were divided, some sided with the Jews, some with the apostles, and when the attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it. They went to these three different cities, these different region. And verse 7, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Watch this. They could have stopped, but they chose to continue moving forward. And watch, this is what's really key for you and me. When you maintain continuity, when you say, I'm not going to let anything get the best of me, when you maintain that continuity, it leads to a more effective life. In other words, all of a sudden you start being able, you start looking at life going, you know what? I'm staying with it no matter what. And it is, do you understand, how did Job end up making a statement like, though they slay me, yet will I trust him? It was the continuity of faith that said, beyond my circumstances, beyond my disappointment, beyond my opposition, I know there is a God who watches over me. And when you get to the 42nd chapter of Job, here's what you discover. You discover that here is a man who understood something. You stay effective and committed to what God's trying to accomplish to you. You stay focused on what he wants to do inside of you. You surrender yourself to something that is about who he is, not about who you are. And you start experiencing some bold, energizing, reliant encounter in life. And listen carefully. The energy we get from God is not something the world can give us. It only comes from him. He gives it to us in order for us to maintain a continuity of effectiveness so that whatever obstacle we face, we can stay reliant and energized by God. And I'm telling you, when you think about it, I think about the span of years of service. You take those who serve on our team, the number of years, etc. Where does that energy come from? Where does that focus come from? Where does that continuity come from? Where does that effectiveness come from? It comes from being aware that as his grace works inside of our lives, we keep surrendering ourselves to his purpose, to his plan, to experience who he is. So today, as you think about that, how reliant are you on the energy that comes from God? Because if you're relying on your own energy, it will wane in a million different ways. But if you're reliant on God's energy at work inside of who you are, then you can energize. And watch this carefully. If you're out of energy, it may be you're not relying on the right source. If you're out of energy, it may be that you tapped into something that can't fill you up. And so my encouragement today is think about this. What if I tap into the grace of God that never runs out? What if I tap into what he wants to accomplish through me? Something begins to happen inside of who I am that's powerful and meaningful, and we begin to experience God the way he intended. All right, so the first thing is that they're boldly reliant. Then they move on to the next part of their story, which is quite interesting because here's a place where Paul and Barnabas, they began to make a great impact. If you would, at verse 8, because what I want you to see is there is an experience that's so energizing to everyone who's present. All right, look at verse 8. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Now stop there and realize something. This is not a guy who just ended up breaking his leg. This is a guy who had never stood up once. Never stood up once. But the key to his life is in verse 9. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who when he had fixed his gaze on him, and here's the key, and it seemed that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And he leaped up and began to walk. Now, I want you to imagine this. If you're in the crowd and you're in this in service and you're sitting there and all of a sudden, here's a guy who is listening intently. I mean, this guy, watch this. His hope rested on finding something beyond himself. He could not do it on his own. And so he's sitting there, he's listening, and you can imagine he's listening very intently, and Paul is sharing with him about what the grace of God can do, what hope can do, what faith can do, how to find peace that passes understanding, how to be able to know that you can trust him no matter what you're facing in life. The same thing you and I anchor ourselves into. And all of a sudden, Paul looks at him and goes, you know what, this guy's got faith. He's got faith. I'm going to tell you, it's the same kind of faith that takes our people into an elementary school and believes that God's going to touch the hearts of those children. It's the same kind of faith that's going to cause the lobby out here to be filled with cans of groceries to help people who are hungry beginning next Sunday. It's the same kind of faith that says we believe that those who are hurting need to have an answer and it comes in Christ. It's the same kind of faith that sends a team off to Tanzania and to into Africa to change lives and change hearts. What's that all about? It's being able to fix your gaze on something that matters that's bigger than you are. And that's what faith does. And so this guy, can you imagine? I want you to imagine a moment. The Bible does not say that he hesitated. The Bible does not record that he sat there and go, wait just a minute, Paul, let me evaluate this. Perhaps you're not aware, Paul, that these feet, they've never worked. These legs have never stood me up. Can you imagine? Think about it for a second. It seemed outside of the realm a possibility. But this guy was not operating on the terms of his possibilities. He was operating on the terms of what God can do. So here's the question you need to ask yourself. What limitation do you put on God that keep him from doing what he intended to do because he watches your lack of faith, your lack of focus, your lack of energy, your lack of effectiveness, and he waits to see if you're going to stop. So, you know what? I'm going to let go of this. I'm going to let go of this. And I'm going to tell you, everyone in here, those heartaches that you encounter, those issues that you deal with, some of them are persistent and they stay with you a long time. Some of them go away after season. But what happens? All of them are connected into us coming to a place where we get so energized by God that nothing can stop us. And so here's these energizing encounters. But it's interesting what the people do. Look if you would, because the people respond in a different way than they need to. Verse 11, when the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they raised their voices saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have become like men and have come down to us. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermas. And because he was the chief speaker, the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen, garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifices with the crowd. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. And in this generation gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own way, and yet he did not leave himself without witness. And that he did good and gave you rains from heaven, fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. Now, I want you to get in mind a picture here. They've witnessed something they never witnessed before, and they said, you know what, this can't be, there's got to be some God here, and it's got to be Zeus, it's got to be these different things. And what do? They tear their clothes out of saying to them, you know what, this is not true. This is not right. So let's think about this text in light of what transpired, because what you see here is something very powerful. Because there are two unique energizing encounters that transpire. One is amazing. Somebody who is lame can walk. Now, the other one is disappointing because you realize these folks are looking for something that only could be generated by their own emotional structure instead of God at work. So there are two or three things I want you to see. First of all, for the man who was lame, listening led to wonder. Listening led to wonder. So I want you to think about this for a moment. What if God wants you to listen very intently? And I have this challenge when I'm around a bunch of children at the same time. They're all saying things. And this week the children had their at the Norcross Academy, they had their trike day. So they're all out there with trikes, they got gas stations, they got all this stuff, and I'm watching their imagination from a distance, so I don't disappoint the teachers by getting out there and getting my grandkids all upset. So I'm just watching and seeing things and having Gayla shoot some pictures for me so I could see it from a different angle. But I was looking at all this, and their imagination was so fascinating because they were imagining all these things, stop signs in different places. And as I watched it, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if you and I could listen to God so much that we could imagine things that's so powerful and so meaningful that we never forget them? I'll tell you, when you think about that, what happens to our lives? We get so energized because we begin to see the wonder of God, because he saves us, but he also works in our hearts and lives every single day. The second thing you see in verse 10, it's a reminder to us, because Paul speaks and said with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. What's he trying to get across for you and me today? Nothing is impossible with God. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that all of a sudden, with authority, he says, stand up. Stand up. And you can imagine it caught the attention of everyone who was watching, because this is a guy who had never walked, who had never stood up. Isn't it interesting spiritually that the very same thing the Holy Spirit can say to each one of us, stand up. Stand up and encounter me. Stand up and experience me. Stand up and surrender to me. Stand up. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. If you sit down, you miss everything. Why does cross the line such a key theme for us? Why are we focusing in on it? Because watch this. When I cross the line into obedience, when I cross the line into effectiveness, when I cross the line into energy, what happens to me? I become who he wants me to be. And I get to experience that wonder. And nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. And so when you get in that mindset, you realize, you know what? He can do anything at any time in any way. You just have to surrender to it. A third and final thing I want you to see is that as a result of what transpires, they try to elevate Paul and Barnabas to a place that they never intended to be. And I want you to get this in mind because this is what we do in our world. Because of social media, because of technology, because of all these things. Because here's what you discover. Elevating men or women is never his plan. Elevating people was not his plan. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men into myself. Jesus lifted high is the key to you and I being effective. Because the higher we lift him, the clearer we see. And the clearer we see, the more powerful we are. And the more powerful we are, the more beautiful our lives. And it's not because we don't have problems, it's not because we don't have disappointments, it's not because we don't have challenges. I can guarantee you every single day that you live will be just like the life I live. There are challenges, there are issues, there are circumstances, there are moments. And out of all that, you discover that you can be energized by God if you just surrender yourself to him. One final thing as we wrap this together, right? So first of all, you realize that for them, they had a chance to be boldly reliant, all right? They were energized by God. You and I need to be energized as well. The second thing is they begin to encounter these effective moments as well as these disappointing moments, and you and I need to see something. For every moment we have some effective, unique, energizing encounter, we probably will have some obstacle that comes at us, some challenge that comes at us, because what you discover is this. What's this? Opposition opens the door to greater opportunities. As much as we hate it, as much as we don't like it, as much as we're overwhelmed by it, opposition opens that door. And you have to go through that door. You have to be willing to walk through it. And even though it's difficulty, you go through that and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you on the other side of this challenge, other side of this circumstance. I'm going to persevere because you have a plan. And watch this. When you persevere, his plan unfolds in a more beautiful way. Because perseverance is a confidence that God is in control and will work in and through everything you encounter in life. You just have to persevere. One final thing I want you to see as we wrap this together. Because as this story unfolds, verse 19, you discover that they react. They react to their momentary setback. Because what do they do here? Verse 19, when the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, you got to get this perspective for a moment. You have to imagine that Paul, when the stones start hitting him, Paul has to remember watching Stephen be stoned. Because it's that moment, it's that deja vu moment where he goes, oh man, I was there and I affirmed, because I didn't know Jesus, I affirmed them killing Stephen. So you can imagine that they drag him out, they start hitting him with rocks, and those rocks are not easy, they're hard, every one of them. And listen carefully, the world will always throw rocks at you, but they can't take you unless he allows it. So don't be overwhelmed by the different rocks coming at you. Instead, get ready to move forward. So look what happened. Notice what transpired. Look at this text, verse 20. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. Now, imagine this for a second. Here's old Paul. He's laying there dead. He looked dead. All the disciples are probably sitting there going, man, what are we going to do? Our main man is out. How do we go from here? What steps do we take? Now, can you imagine Paul standing, all of a sudden he opens one eye, then he opens another eye. He stands up, and all the disciples are going, whew, we thought he was dead. And what you discover is here is this amazing moment in which Paul finds himself, and it's why when you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when you read in verses 7 through 10, where we're crushed but not in despair, you go through all those things, that is in direct correlation to what transpired here in the book of Acts. And so you read that text later on at home and you see something, that no matter what is coming at us, he will be glorified in that. And so here's this energizing encounter. What do they do? Verse 22 and verse 21. And they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples. And they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue the faith, and saying through many, watch this, you ought to underline this verse because this is the key to how life works. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. So here's what he's saying. You don't know what all you're going to face in life, but through those tribulations, through those trials, through those difficulties, you become more effective, you become more energized, you get more blessed, you get more positioned to accomplish what he intends. How? Because you are not surrendering to your tribulation, you're standing in it. And so don't forget when he said stand up to that lame man, I'm telling you, that lame man spent the rest of his life walking around praising God. But he had still his tribulation he'd been through to remember all those years in which he didn't have a chance to be able to move around. So as you think about that, and you think about your own life, there are two or three things I want to say. First of all, they strengthen their souls. And the reason I want you to see this is because when you look at this text in verse 22, when somebody brings strength to who you are, it energizes you. I watched the news last night with Cindy, and they were telling the story of people with Parkinson, and they were taking up boxing and all kinds of things to make them more limber, to keep their body more functional, to be able to accomplish more of what life has for them. And as I was reading all of it, I mean, watching all of it, it was interesting that they had an older lady on there who was doing, she was doing all kinds of things, boxing, doing all kinds of things. And it's interesting because they ask her, how long will you do this? They're working out, they're exercising. How long will you do this? And it's interesting the response, until my last breath. And as I watched that, I thought, you know what? That's what you and I ought to have by way of perspective for our life story. That we will serve him, love him, accomplish his purpose until our very last breath. That we will not surrender to anything less than his very best. So he strengthened their souls. He made them strong. All right? And it wasn't a can of Red Bull that got them energized. It was the discipline. Watch this. Their discipline opened up their direction, and their direction became their delight because all of a sudden they could feel better, and their hands were not shaking as much, and their bodies were responding. And listen carefully. Watch this carefully. If we waver in our faith, we will tremble like Parkinson. If we wane in our effectiveness, if we lose our energy, we'll begin to shake at every circumstance that comes our way. Do not let that happen. Do not let that become a part of your story. A second thing I want you to see is this. The Bible says they encourage their hearts. And don't you love to be encouraged? Don't you love to know that someone is there to encourage you, to be a part of your story? So they strengthen their souls. They encourage their hearts. And I tell you what I love about the whole story is they persevered in their calling. In other words, they did not stop no matter what. So I want you to think about your own life. If someone were to rate your life effectiveness, were to rate your level of energy, and it was a 1 to 10 scale, and someone objectively asked you, how much energy do you have? And you look and say, 5, 4, 6, whatever the number is, and you realize that, you know what, I need more energy. But then someone asks you something even more pointed. How effective are you? And listen carefully. If we're not effective in what it is he wants to do through us and in us, how can we ever expect our life to unfold in a way that God intended? How can we ever cross that line into effectiveness? How can we ever be energized if we're not willing to persevere in the midst of what we're going through? And so today, as you think about your own story, and you think about where you are, I want to ask you a simple question. How powerful is his grace in your heart? Because if his grace is powerful, you have an answer to what it is you're facing in life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for the call to our lives to be effective. Thank you for the call to our lives to be energized by you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to know that you are working in each one of our lives. And Lord, as I'm thinking about the question, if we rated our effectiveness, we rated our energy, where would we come out? Lord, I pray that in this room there are lots of 10 that are 100% effective, 100% energized. I pray there are lots of 9s. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here who's a 3 or 4, they let someone come pray with them to help them find more effectiveness in their life, to find more direction in their calling. Lord, bless us as we respond to you because we want to be effective, energized servants of God, crossing the line, never to go back. I pray, Lord, that you would do something amazing in each one of our hearts and lives as we allow you to speak to us. Lord, bless us as we respond to you. In Christ's name, amen.